All right. Good morning again. What we're going to talk about this morning is, does anybody here have car insurance? Anybody have AAA? Okay. That's all right. You can raise your hand. We don't know, Donnie. It's all right. Well, that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. AAA insurance. But we're talking, is that okay, Cheryl? Okay. You're so sharp. But we're going to talk about a spiritual AAA. Sometimes it's necessary just to get back to foundational things. And sometimes the things that we don't think of as being that important are really some of the most important things. And by AAA, I'm talking about three different things. I'm talking about authority, accountability, and action. Those are three words that always hurt when we hear it. We hate to hear about somebody being authority. In other words, somebody telling us what to do. We don't like that, do we? It just kind of rubs against us. And accountability. My goodness, it's my business what I do, right? And action. We'll get to that. You're absolutely right. No, it is not. And action. What good is anything without action, right? If we're accountable, we have to be accountable to somebody. That's where the authority comes in. We have to be accountable to an authority. In other words, somebody that has authority over us. And to be accountable, what are we accountable for? Our action, right? Our action is what comes out of our mouth and what we do. Where we go, what we say. And it's also just the opposite of what we don't do, what we don't say. Because there's things that we should be doing that we don't sometimes. We need to be accountable for that. Right? If you remember, everybody is accountable in some way or another. And accountability is honestly a good thing. I spoke last Sunday morning. Remember, I preached down front? I've done it many a times, right? I've taught up here many a times. But still, after it was over, I sit down with the two pastors and the other elders, and they critique me. You know why? Because I can get better. Everybody can get better. Nobody is perfect. Everybody slips up, makes a mistake, says something wrong, could do something better, right? Whether small or large, every little bit. And when we sit down and talk, it's not that we're hard on each other. It's simply, don't tell me what I did right. Tell me what I did wrong. That's what I want to change. Right? It sounds like, you know, unless you've got the right heart, you could get offended. Well, they're always telling me what I do wrong. Well, that's what we need to know. Right? Like I could tell Sammy what he does right, or I could tell him what he does wrong. I would prefer in Sammy's case to tell him what he done right, because that wouldn't take long. All right, I'm done with him. I had to pick on you one time. I would like to give a shout-out, for those that don't know it, to Sammy there. He just graduated from University of Michigan with a bachelor degree in business administration. Very good. That's great for a poor little boy from the ghettos of Ypsilanti there. Come into this church, had one pair of cut-off shorts, one pair of sandals, and was sleeping on everybody's couch. Right, Sammy? He was the original couch surfer, weren't you? He would come all the way from Ypsilanti a lot of times to come to church here. You could tell that he had a heart, that he was going to go places, that God had a call on his life. But yet it required some action on his part, like we're talking about this morning. And that action was to get himself here, get himself straightened up. And you've come a long way. But he always made his way here, and we appreciate that, and God appreciates that. It's that effort that God blesses, right? You could have just sat at home and said, well, if nobody comes and gets me, I'm not going to go. You made your way, and you brought all kind of people, too. Yep. Lord knows they were in worse shape than you, most of them, but he still brought them. But that's the kind of people that we need to bring out, right? Bottom line is, if we take a look in the mirror, that's who we were before we were saved, right? None of us were big, important, and pretty. Well, I was fairly pretty, but the rest didn't work out.
You even had long hair.
I looked like Sammy, yeah.
Only your beard was more
till I change my ways. But these three things are a cornerstone of what we need to do to be able to walk out God's plan, purpose, and will for us, right? To be all we can in God. We need to be under authority, and whoever we're under authority to, it's under accountability. In other words, we need to give an account of what's going on. And also action. That's what we're giving account of, is our action. Now, authority, there's two different types of authority. We could break it down to two different types. First is authority that we haven't given somebody, but somebody else has put over us. A policeman stops you. You don't even know who it is. You haven't given him any authority. Does he have authority over you? Right? Again, that type of authority, any type of authority, can't make you do anything. But yet, they will give you a list of consequences if you don't do it. Right? Same way with God. God says, if you don't do this, you're cursed. If you do this, you're blessed. God's not going to make you do it. Right? He's not going to make your knee bend. He's going to do his best to soften your heart to where you will bend that knee. But God doesn't want robots, right? It's free choice. Thank God everybody sitting here chose the right road. But the other type of authority is the authority that we give somebody. Say, we decided to join this church, so we give some authority and are accountable to our leadership, our pastors, correct? There's others that we could do that with, too. Somebody that, say, is a mentor of ours, a teacher, an instructor or something, you give them some amount of authority to teach into your life, correct? In other words, you're going to listen to them, and hopefully you're going to be accountable because they're grading you for what? Your action, and your action is what you do in the class, what you write, what you say, your homework, whatever. In the church, in God's kingdom, it's the same way. But we have to remember, all authority starts with who? God, okay? And then filters down. So we're going to talk about those two different classes of authority. Those that we did not put in authority, but someone with authority put in authority. If you have authority, somebody had to give you that authority. And that goes all the way up a hierarchy till you stop at God. All authority comes from God, and we'll talk about that in a minute, too. Whether, you know, everybody is accountable to God, not just those of us that are saved, do you know that? Everybody is going to stand in front of God one day and give an account, saved or not, correct? We're all accountable to God. God uses each and every one of us, whether we're saved or not. I remember in Kings, there was this great heathen king that standing out in front of the walls of Jerusalem, telling him he was going to go in there and tear this place down. He'd give an itinerary of all the towns, all the places he conquered. And God said to him, look, basically, you did none of these things. I used you as a tool to punish Israel. Everybody is used by God. It's just whether or not you turn your heart over to him and do it willingly. I would rather doing it willingly, right? You may not. The cop gives you a ticket. After about the 10th time you get a speeding ticket, the accountability amps itself. You go to jail, right? Same way, I don't want it to come to that point with God that he has to punish me, right? We all make mistakes. You simply say, I'm sorry, and go on. That's accountability. Go to that person and say, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to do this wrong. I see the error of my ways. Give me the strength to change, Lord. Let's start with spiritual accountability. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, Hebrews 13, 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. There again, it goes back to action. We're supposed to look at the action of our leaders, right? And if they're doing right, we are supposed to what? Imitate them. How do we know whether or not they're doing the right thing? The Word of God. We are accountable to that. That's why the Bereans were told how noble they were for taking a look at what Paul was saying. Probably the greatest evangelist that ever lived, right? Do you think it offended him that they checked up the Word after him? No. And what does God say? He commended them. You commend somebody for doing something good, right? God commended them for looking that up. Check. You are accountable for your own actions. You cannot stand in front of, I cannot stand in front of God and say, well, Pastor Don told me to do this. If it goes against the Word of God. He is, of course, not going to do that. But that, I have no accountability there to God, do I, if I'm blaming someone else. Pastor Don is not standing there. I am standing there. Did you know better? Well, I wasn't sure. Did you look it up? Did you ask somebody? Right? You better have a good excuse. I have never heard a good excuse in my life. Everybody has excuses, a ton of them, including me, but none of them are worth anything. But we need to know and take very seriously accountability to the authorities over us. It says here to watch what your pastors do, the word they spoke to you, and walk it out. It's kind of hard sometimes. You see somebody doing something, you want to say something in correction, right? I have learned over the years that if somebody comes and asks me for direction or correction, about 50% of the time they'll listen. So what do you think the percentage is if you just go up to someone and try and make them accountable? Zero or less, probably. Unless God changes their heart. So we need to make sure, when we're talking about this, we're talking about ourselves in most cases, right? But it works both ways. You know, everybody, is there anybody here that's not in authority? Raise your hand. Good thing nobody raised their hand. We would have talked about that. Everybody has some form of authority. If you're a parent, you have authority over your kids. Work, you have authority over different things, right? Of some way or another. Even the simplest thing, if you go to a restaurant, the waitress, they call them now servers, which is short for servant, right? Actually, that's where that word comes from. There again, what is she there to do? What you ask her to do, right? To serve you. So you have some authority there. If you tell her you want bacon, she's not going to bring you ham. She did, it'd be okay with me, but everybody has some authority, but your authority is scrutinized as well, how you handle that authority. The word says you do not lord your authority over people, correct? That's not the kind of heart that Jesus taught us to have. He didn't browbeat people, did he? But yet, who had more authority than Christ? And there was times that he knew that authority wasn't working.
Have you killed him? Elvis got a way of doing it.
Dude, Jesus. There was times that Jesus had problems even. Listen to me. Jesus done many, many miracles everywhere he went. There's most cases, if you read, it says he went to this certain city. This group of people come to him, and he healed them all. It says that over and over, except one case. He went to his hometown. And people said when Jesus woke up and said, walking through, I'm the Messiah. Man, you're that little boy that you were playing stickball. You broke my window. Come on. Now you're God. Get out of here. And what does it say? He did very few miracles. Because there was no faith, no belief, right? You have to believe in those that have authority over you. Now, they're going to have that authority whether you believe it or not, but that belief is to help you. If, as long as I feel that someone wants the best for me, right? Even if they give me a hard word, I'll gladly take it because I know they want the best for me. I hate somebody that, how's things going? Oh, you're just doing great, Bobby. You're just wonderful. You just walk on water. How did that help me?
Nothing.
Nothing. because I know they lied to me. If anything, it built up my pride, which I need to get down, right? But authority is a very slippery road to be on in both cases, whether you're under authority or in authority. And believe me, in all cases, it's both ways, correct? I was talking about here about the authority of the pastors and the eldership and the leaders in the church. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have a head, right, of your class. Say you're in the, Ed, you're in charge of the junior high still? Ed's head of the junior high, right? So the teachers are answerable to him. He's the one that sets a vision as far as they're concerned, right? They take their marching orders from him. Now we have a head of Sunday school, all of it, which is Brian there. Wave, Brian.
It's really Christy, but...
Yeah, it's not many times I can give him any accolades, so I'm rolling with this. Roll with me on this one. I'm trying to build him up. Lord knows he needs it. But yes, him and his wife are both in charge of it. But bottom line, if something goes wrong, they're not going to go to Christy. They're going to go to Brian. And that's the way it should be. He is the last one accountable. He's accountable for giving Ed direction. Right? Ed is accountable for taking that direction. And you can critique it a little bit because he knows his teachers better than Brian does on which one might do better at certain things. And then he runs with that. And each one of the teachers have their own authority over that class. But then ultimately, again, Brian answers to Pastor Don, who is overseeing that, who answers to Pastor John, who is the head of our body here, our church, and then he answers to God, right? It sounds like he has the easiest job. Who here wants to be accountable for everything that goes on in this church to God?
Bob, you left something out.
What's that? Answers to Esther. We can't leave Esther out. Let me read one more scripture on that. In Hebrews again, chapter 13. I read verse 7. Now let's read verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. If you don't have confidence in someone, you're not going to submit to them. If you don't think, whether or not it's true or not sometimes, if you don't think they're a good leader, they're going in the right direction, you're not going to follow. Right? Let's be true. How many words have anybody here ever got any prophetic words? Had the pastors give you some direction or anything? Everyone here. Is anyone here did all of that? Listened to every word and walked every word out, other than Esther? No. Yes.
In the military, you know, the guys that came out of the school, they thought they had the knowledge, and as opposed to the guys that were out in the field and the experience, who you want to listen to.
Bag me up on this, Sarge. This is Sarge. He outranks me.
You call them butterbars.
Yep. Nice and shiny.
Yeah, if we'd be out in the field or something, you'd get a lieutenant, you're a young captain, or you know, looking, okay, I'm just important for an airstrike. And he's like, oh, no.
Who's got, hold, one more time, Sarge, hold on a minute, I'm sorry. Ed's a little slow, start over.
Get these officers to come out of NCO Academy, I mean, officers candidate school, they, you know, they read the books, okay, I mean, you know, so you get, they come in, you know, get to a line unit, infantry unit, and you're out in the field, you're under, you know,
can everybody
fire.
Hear him?
You're under heavy fire.
Speak up, Sarge.
You're under heavy fire, and you want to get a call for air support, or, you know, or an artillery strike. So he gives these coordinates, and you got your first sergeant, your team, sergeant major sitting there go, oh, and we had one first sergeant called lieutenant, never called lieutenant, sir. It was my young lieutenant. This guy would just shake. You got to earn your respect before I call you sir. But he'd give coordinates and say, oh, wait a minute. You know, they fire for effect. They say, oh, no, use proper way, you fire one round smoke. You find out where these rounds are falling. Right. You say, yo, but once you get an officer that shows himself in battle, and you have respect for him. And any new officer coming in, anybody new comes in, you got to sit there. You got to earn your respect.
That's right.
And you know, like he said, passes on. When you were military, you worked for GM. You were a supervisor. You had to make decisions. They made me an NCO. I didn't want to. No, not me. There's no choice. You're stuck with it. But like I say, you're responsible for people, and there's somebody always above you,
yes.
you, watching over
yes.
you, and that's God.
It's a kind of, you have to have respect for the authority over you, and that comes with time. Even a new pastor coming in from churches, that's why I could never understand some of these denominational churches that change pastors every year, 2 years or something, to keep it fresh. In other words, one Sunday you look and there stands somebody. If we walk down there today, Pastor Don and John were gone, some guy we've never seen before was standing up there telling us what to do. How would we feel? Who is this guy? Yes, ma'am. Ed, behind you.
Would tell you, well, the Holy Spirit, and that's in the Word, and they agreed with it, and they got past a pastor in there that wanted to preach what their church supposedly believed in. But the board, which is not biblical, decided the old hats, older people, didn't want change. They liked things the way they were. They had the authority to get rid of them. Stop preaching this. Or we're getting rid of you. He wouldn't do it. He's going to preach the Word of God. Needless to say, they got rid of him.
There are some denominations, too. There has to be a line of authority, right? And that line of authority needs to be biblical. There are churches that have deacon boards. I had a very good friend for years, for a long time. As a matter of fact, I hired him in. I went down and got him out of the line to work at the old Fleetwood plant. We've been friends for years till he moved away and I retired. You love me. He was Polish, Pastor Don.
That's why you promoted him.
That's right. Yes, he was. But the fact is that we need to take into account those that are in authority over us. And that authority has to be a biblical authority, which means it's in line with the Word of God. This church that he belonged to, they had deacons voted on the pastor in and out. Somebody please show me that in the Word, because I've never found it. It's just the opposite, right? The apostles elected the elders. They sat down and said, who is doing good? Who's already walking this out, right? And then had the life to back it up. And they're all important. You know, the difference between, in the Word, is the qualifications for an elder and a deacon. There are qualifications, right? God don't just say pick somebody because they smell good or they dress pretty or something, right? They sound good.
Or they're knowledgeable.
You have to have, there's a set of criteria they have to match. And you know, the only difference between a deacon and an elder, an elder needs to be apt to teach. He needs to be a teacher, where a deacon doesn't necessarily have to teach, right? That's the only difference. But nowhere does it say that the part of the job of a deacon is to run the church. And a lot of churches, that's what they're doing. That authority is not in the right place. And most of those churches have problems. A lot of the denominational churches that kind of agree with that teaching, they're... Membership is way down. Pastor?
Yeah, it's a very common problem. We had a very close friend who was a pastor in town here. Baptist Church had a deacon board, and he left a job at the time he was working for Arthur Anderson, probably making $150,000. And he left that job, and he took the senior pastor role over at this church, and they were paying him $30,000. Now, you got to take your hat off to a guy that left, so after a couple of years, he went to his deacon board asking for a small raise. Three of the guys that were on the deacon board didn't even give to the church, and they were now making decisions for this guy. And I said, first of all, get rid of the stupid deacon board, and get some men on a board that you know, have been tested and would maybe even qualify for elders. But to have somebody who's not even fulfilling their own commitment, now determining your salary, I said there's something wrong with that pitcher. Well, needless to say, the church folded and he moved on. And, you know, in fact, the couple guys, there was one guy that was kind of the main leader there, you know. And he himself had, the nice job. And his whole idea was, you know, the pastor should be in poverty and blah, 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 blah. And I used to tell him, I go, you need to leave that church and go back to Arthur Anderson and make some money and, you know, find a church where you live and support that. And he's back now doing financing, doing very well. A very smart guy. But, you know, that's the mentality. And you think to yourself, hey, you're going to be a pastor, be rich, because that should not never be the motivation. But that pastor, you know, should be making a living. This isn't a word that, getting paid from that. But to see some of these churches and how miserly is, and they go, that's why you're in the condition that you are. I says, man, you guys just don't want to bless people. And there's ramifications from that. And there were for that church, you know, deposit.
Absolutely. Oh. Esther, go ahead.
It's very challenging when we come into the church as, like, when we first came into this church 18 years ago, and, like, pastors or the elders, which were deacons then, us being taught after we've lived in the world to come under authority, it's very challenging to go through that walk. But because people do that, because people have said, okay, actually, not even knowingly, we've laid down our pride, and God helped us, gave us so much grace to come to the 18 years, like myself, 18 years I've been here, and putting myself down, which actually took a lot of work and a lot of trouble and counseling and a lot of being dealt like a little child, really, to be honest, when you're being brought down to under your husband, which is a beautiful thing. I never, never, never knew how beautiful it could be to have your husband, to have you come down. When you come out of, when you're in the world, the woman is in charge. As you can see how it's being right now. The woman is in charge. The woman is in charge, and they are running their mouth like they have no accountability to nobody. But when you're brought down, when you're brought down under submission, and you put your position where it's supposed to be as a woman, and I'm not saying that to say, like, I have no, you know, I have no authority, like, with, like my husband, of course, he gives me authority, and then God has given us authority because we have a business, and it's come to where it's come, so obviously God is in the midst. I'm not saying I'm all holified, because I'm not nowhere near holified. I'm not even a pinky holified. So, but I'm saying it's a beautiful thing to have authority and to come under submission, because God is so good and has such grace on me and my sinfulness.
Thank you. Thank you. Of course. We hold on. We'll now have the rebuttal. Yes.
Nothing to do with what she just said. Okay. But because I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's kind of funny because at work, and they've been trying to do this for a couple years now. That they want to put me in a foreman's position, and I always told them no. Because $1.25 for the headache they have is not worth it. You know, because that's all you're getting more. If we can negotiate, but they're. So I always told them, and I just, because when they kind of threw it out there, I always shot it down. Like, no, I don't want the headaches. I like leaving and not thinking about this because, you get calls at home, calls on the way home. This wasn't, I wasn't really motivated to do that. Even though I'm in that role, at work, on some jobs, but I'll do it. And I told him, I said, I'll do it. You ain't even got to give me the money. Just, because you can always walk away from it whenever you want to. You ain't being held accountable.
Yeah.
Because I can always say, hey, I'm not even a foreman, buddy. Get the foreman out here. So I like that. I'm sorry, but
plausible deniability.
Yes, I'm liking that. no accountability. I can leave, don't bother me. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know. And, but now they're really pushing me. You know, I mean, everybody is saying, you know, this and that, so I was like, whatever. You know, because it kind of got, it's kind of funny, you know, because it said you got to have three confirmations, you know. Well, I had the carpenter foreman come up to me, say, I'm going to go talk to him. You know, you need your money, this and that. And I said, no, I don't want it. The finisher foreman come up to me. You know, you got to have your money, you know, this and that. And then the other guy come up to me. Actually, the other foreman that's on the job come up to me. I was thinking, why don't you guys mind your own business? Don't worry about my finances, buddy. I'm good, you know. But so, yeah, so I'm listening to your teaching, and maybe I need to change my thinking a little bit, you know. But
that's what Brian, you know. Or I'm sorry, Fred. I don't know where that come from, Brian. Fred, you're in a church, right? Part of being in the church is you have access to the pastors and some people have been there and stuff to give you some advice or tell you, you know, what they know about it. I know that when I was super, I got called in one Christmas Eve. When you worked for GM and you were on salary, you worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, period. No overtime, nothing. Your base salary, you had to get the job done. Plant manager, he was half drunk, had friends over, company out of town, big shots. He wanted to show them the plant. This is on Christmas Eve, right? He goes into the plant, and it's a mess. Could you imagine the last day before Christmas in an auto plant? You know, everybody was drunk, including me, yes. Everybody was drunk, high, something, all right? We just wanted to get the day over and get out, right? Because we had to work the day before. There was no, like it is now, a week. We got 3 days off for Christmas and 3 days off for New Year's. We had to work in between. Heaven help the person that bought a car that was built in those 3 days between that stretch. But we do have to remember that when with authority comes responsibility. Another word we hate to hear. If you have the authority over someone, God is not only going to question what you did, he's going to question what you said to that person. Did you follow up on whether or not they did it? Right? Worst job in this church is Pastor John's. He's answerable for everything that happens, right? I mean, he's not going to be held accountable, of course, for everything. But he has the authority that he should speak into everything, right? The buck stops there. And that is a heck of a responsibility. So remember, anytime you start thinking about how great it would, you know, to be in charge, I'd be the man. I learned fast. Nobody going to listen to the man, you know. First guy I give an order to talked about my mama and my dog. You know, no respect, just like Rodney Dangerfield. I got no respect. But we're going to end. I'm going to finish this one verse. I'm not even going to comment on it, but I was going to finish the verse I'm reading, and I'll be back next week, and we'll go a little further into this. Authority, accountability, and action. Today we were talking about accountability within the church. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep a watch over you as those who must give an account. They have to give an account for what they said into your life. Do this so that their work will be a joy. Joy to the world, Pastor. Not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Amen? Amen. We'll continue with this next week, so I hope to see you here. You've got the mic. Would you go ahead and close for us?
Lord, we thank you for this message, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that we go down into your presence and that we be mindful of our authority and of our ways, as Bob indicated, that we have to give account to you, Lord, and let us be mindful of that and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.